Ich freue mich so, denn heute geht schon der 50. Podcast von Bau dir deine Zukunft an den Start. Und ich freue mich, dass ich heute einen internationalen Gast bei mir im Podcast habe. Aber als allererstes danke an dieser Stelle an alle, die helfen, dass der Podcast Mittwoch für Mittwoch pünktlich erscheint. Und natürlich an Sie, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer. Mit Ihren Feedbacks und den stetig steigenden Hörerzahlen fühle ich mich sehr bestätigt. Aber nun zum Podcast. Als Special habe ich mir heute einen internationalen Gast eingeladen. Kein geringerer als der irische Comedian Kieran McMahon nimmt heute mit mir auf dem Sofa Platz. Hören oder noch besser, schauen Sie unbedingt rein. Wir hatten eine Menge Spaß. Und Kieran hat eine ganz besondere Art, wertvollen Input humorvoll zu verpacken. Da Kierans Deutsch nicht so gut ist wie mein Englisch, gibt es heute einen englischen Sofa-Talk. Herzlich willkommen zu Bau dir deine Zukunft, dem Podcast für Unternehmer und Unternehmerinnen, Visionäre und Zukunftsbauer, die sich und die Welt bewegen und wissen wollen, was in Zukunft wichtig wird. Mein Name ist Sylvia Zulkowski, ich bin Zukunftsentwicklerin, Autorin und Vortragsrednerin. Freuen Sie sich auf Tipps, Impulse und spannende Interviews und lassen Sie uns gemeinsam kecker werden und die Welt aus den Angeln heben. Hallo meine Damen und Herren, heute zu einem ganz speziellen Sofa-Talk, der relativ spontan entstanden ist. Ich habe nämlich gerade Besuch aus Irland, aus Dublin. Und Kieran ist mein Gast und er hat so viel über Storytelling erzählt, er hat so viel von Comedian erzählt, er ist Lehrer, er ist, unterrichtet Comedians für Stand-Up-Comedian und all sowas. Und ich gehe jetzt natürlich über ins Englische, weil mein Gast spricht in der Hauptsache irisches Englisch. Aber deutlich genug, dass wir alle etwas davon verstehen. Und ich hoffe, Sie haben genauso viel Spaß bei dem Podcast jetzt, bei dem Sofa-Talk, wie ich hatte jetzt die ganze Zeit, mich mit ihm zu unterhalten. Also, herzlich willkommen, Kieran.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. I just told my audience that you're my guest now in this house, and
yeah,
we talked a lot about communication and comedian and storytelling, and
yeah.
Wow, this is so interesting. And just this morning you told me you did a storytelling workshop with a company in Norway.
Yeah,
because they tried to find out what's going on about their own company and how could they be
They wanted to connect a story to their company.
Okay.
So the connection for me was, they said, you do stand-up comedy, you're a storyteller, can you do a presentation about storytelling? And I said, yes, no problem. And then maybe 2 weeks before, they said, can you do a presentation about storytelling for companies? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
So it was a very gradual step for me as well. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing the presentation like I would do it about storytelling. And then I made a few steps more so that it could be understood from a company perspective.
What's a fascinating thing about that for you?
Well, to me, it was when I had the challenge of saying, present this for companies, I had to go, well, it's all very similar to anybody's story. Because to me, the best thing, I was asking you earlier, it's like, how do you begin when you give talks? And you said, I always begin with a story.
Yes.
And I said, is the story connected to you personally?
Yes.
And you said, yes, it's a personal story. And I said, perfect, because then somebody gets to understand who you are and also the idea of what you're going to talk about. So similarly, if in Ireland, when we say hello to each other, we don't say hello, we say, what's the story?
That's really true, because he was asking me the very first time I met him. Oh, hi, I'm Kieran. What's the story? And I said, "Huh?"
So I do this, and like I just did a comedy show in Munich,
yes,
with 500 people, and I realized that this is culturally different in Germany. And I do this on stage, and I say, in Ireland, we say, "Hello, how are you? What's the story?" And I said, if you ask a German, "How are you?" they say, "Well, I didn't get a very good night's sleep, and I have a bit of a pain in my back. And in the hotel this morning, there was no muesli." And I'm going, wow, I just want, the answer is, "How are you?" "Fine." We don't want to know the answer. And then the next one is, "What's the story?" And if you ask a German what the story is,
yeah,
usually it's such a direct question for a German that they say, "Well, I was born in Munich. My mother's name was Gertrude, and my father's name was Gun." Whereas in Ireland, really, what we want to know is what's happening. You know, give us the news. You know, what's the news? What's happening for you today? You know, and really, what we want is, you know, is just that curiosity of wanting to know something about you. You know.
Well, you told me that before. The curiosity of the story, is that what's behind every story?
All the good stories create curiosity. So either the story creates the curiosity for the teller, the person telling the story, or the curiosity is created for what's going to happen next. And a good story has both, you know. So you're trying to...
That's not as easy, isn't it?
Well, I mean, but I don't think of this in a kind of, okay, these are the details I must have in the story. We all know what a good story is.
Mm.
We all know the difference between a good story and a bad story.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's a story that kind of connects you and makes that connection with you, and you connect with the story.
Mm-hmm.
So all the steps I was talking about are the same steps that I talk about when just telling a story for companies or even doing stand-up comedy. Because what the connection is making that connection between you and somebody who doesn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say at the beginning that the first 4 seconds on stage are the most important. Because in those 4 seconds, they look at you, and then they hear you, and they hear your name. And in this moment, it's these 4 seconds, they get this information. So first and foremost, the way you say hello at the beginning. So when you meet somebody, it's like the classic handshake, you know. Yes. If somebody gives you a wet fish handshake, you're like, ugh.
And, wet fish, yes, right. You know,
hello is the same. If you meet somebody and they go, oh, you know, you go, I'm not interested in them.
You're not connected in any kind, right?
So
right.
It's the most important word at the beginning. So even in any talk, in any presentation, in any stand-up comedy gig, in any story, you must make that connection immediately. And it communicates so much energy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to a comedian friend today who did my comedy workshop.
Yes.
And he said, I'm thinking of starting comedy. He just finished college, so he's thinking of starting comedy. And he looked back over all his notes, and in every one of his notes, it has hello and then name.
And
I went, but you begin everything with hello and your name. And he goes, no, but I must remember. Because if I forget, then I miss the connection. This is what you told me. And I said, have you seen the difference? And he said, yes. One gig, I said, hello, my name is Andrew. And everyone went, okay, you know. Whereas the next gig, he went, hello. And then he started talking. And he changed, like, he stopped making eye contact and then started talking about what he was talking about. And the connection was lost. So
And he held it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so that must be established first. So you start by going, hello. And you wait.
Okay.
And it's all of it. It sounds strange, but when you wait, people go, and they're engaged with you. And usually, internationally, if you say hello to somebody, it's very difficult not to say hello back.
Yeah, right.
I've started gigs when I'm nervous, and I've gone, hello, how are you? How are you doing? Are you well? What's the story? That's five questions. And the audience are just going,
okay.
So it's great discipline, but just to begin by going, hello. And when you say hello, the audience may just sit there and go, But I don't continue until I go, hello. And then they might go, what's happening? And I go, I won't continue until everybody says hello to me. So
okay.
Then if you say hello and somebody says hello, you continue.
Uh-huh.
It's like at a bus stop.
Uh-huh.
If you're standing, Germans at a bus stop, you stand there and you go, and they just go, nobody talks. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Ireland, at the bus stop, you go, hello, and they go, hello, and you go, ah, what's your name? So I hear you. And you're talking. The bus arrives and goes, and you're still continue talking. So
okay. It's
the beginning of a conversation.
Yeah.
So it's the most important part of the conversation, because if you're at a bus stop and there's a beautiful girl at the bus stop and you go, hello,
and
she says nothing, well, then you go, that's the end of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go hello and she says hello, you go, well, how are you? What's the story? You know,
yeah.
And then it can begin.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it's so important that when you say hello at the beginning, that you get the response. So when you say that to an audience, it could be a group of 10, it could be a group of 500. But when you say hello and nothing happens, then there's no connection. So I don't continue until I go, let's try again. Hello. And then the other night, I got 500 people saying hello. And I was like, whoa. I said, hello. And then I go, my name is Kieran. And they, and like you just said, how do you spell your name? It's like, it's not a normal name outside Ireland. So I said, and then I say, can everybody say hello, Kieran?
Mm-hmm.
So then 500 people go, hello, Kieran. And I go, hello. And then I continue.
Okay.
So that connection is so important.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Okay. And it's important for the audience. It's important for just two people get connected. And
yeah. Also
important for a company with all the people in it. So tell me one thing. This morning you told me about the apple story in Norway.
Oh, yeah.
Can you just repeat that for us? Because I think it's a very true thing behind the story.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the most interesting thing that, I think the first thing is, like, what kind of computer do you have? Do you use Apple or do you use Dell, or is it Apple that
no,
you use?
I do have a Windows computer.
Oh, you do? Oh, you're one of the Windows people.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's okay, because when I was giving the presentation in Norway, I was talking about this, but, you know, the Norwegians, they were kind of sitting there and they were listening, you know, and I was going, wow, I'm losing the connection. I need to make the connection again. And so I needed them to respond and answer something so that everybody's engaged again. So I said, can I just ask all of you people with a show of hands, how many of you people use Apple computers, like an Apple Mac? And so the hands went up, and almost everybody, because it was a kind of creative, entrepreneurial, graphic design type audience. So everybody was like, oh yes, definitely Mac, you know. And then the Microsoft people were like,
okay.
You know. So already it was cool to have Apple and not cool to have Windows or whatever, you know. And I said, so what kind of person uses a Mac? And then you had lots of suggestions like, well, they're very creative people, and they're very this, and they're very that. And, you know, they're artistic, they're creative, and, you know, innovative, and it's, you know, all of these dynamic words. And I was like, okay. And I said, what about people who use Windows? You know, exhibit A. Right? oh, well, they would be, you know,
kind just of
they,
business,
their
business
businesses, they've worked, their business payments. And I was like, okay, just tell me again, everybody who's an Apple Mac user. And then the hands go proudly this time, oh, yes, I'm creative, I'm artistic, I'm different, I'm unusual. And I was like, you have all been sold a story. And they were like, what are you talking about? You know, there was just a moment where it's like, yes, wait, what? You know,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, I had statistics, and at the time, Apple was the biggest computer provider or company compared to Windows, or would say Microsoft, mm-hmm. which was smaller in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so hang on, this is supposed to be an artistic, cool brand and, you know, something kind of different. I said, they are the biggest company in the world of computer providers. So the only difference between Microsoft, that you are business computers, you know, mass produced, da da da. I said, the only difference is the image and the idea of what that product represents. I said, that's the story. And all of you guys have bought into that story. And so one minute, all the hands were off going, yes, I'm an Apple Mac user. And the next minute, all the Norwegians went, I don't like this guy. So my example was too good. It was mm-hmm. actually because you begin to identify with the product, but the product defines the story. Like last night, you said, would you like to try a dark beer? And yeah. I was like, well, okay, well, you know, what's the story with this beer? And yeah. I was expecting you to tell me, well, it's a dark beer and it's this and it's that. But then also you said, this beer is the only, this company only delivers.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, it's like the milkman of German beer, you know, mm-hmm. but they only deliver. So you can't buy it in the shop. So then it created a kind of exclusivity. And then I was going, we stopped our conversation for me to ask more information about this company.
Yeah, right.
And so the curiosity was created by the story of, wait a minute, this beer is only delivered. So I wanted to know more. So we took 10 minutes.
So that was a curiosity about it.
That curiosity was the unique
selling thing, probably.
Yeah. Now, you said unique because everybody wants to show that their company or their product is unique.
Yes, right.
And strangely, it may not be. It's like, we are unique because our product is red. It's not because it may be different, but it's what would make it the most interesting, or what creates the most curiosity. So if you are proud of your product or your company, you might say, we are the best, we are the premier, we are this. But for me, what would be the most interesting part of the story?
Yeah.
You know?
Where can I connect? Because
yeah, what's my connection with this?
Because of the values they have, I have probably. And
yeah. So either the story of how the company started, or the story about how you guys work together, what's different about it, why you decided to create mm-hmm. this company or this product. And it's the personal.
Yeah, it is the personal.
Right. And to me, and this comes back to the connection, that if there's a personal connection,
mm-hmm.
then I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about being unique and perfect and branding and lovely and da da da. It's, where is the personal connection between me and this company or this product, you know? Mm-hmm. So unique is one thing, but where's the curiosity? How do you create the curiosity?
This is so fascinating for me, with the curiosity. It's kind of new, but very interesting. So I know a lot about storytelling because it's really hip at the moment.
Yeah.
Talking about storytelling and looking on storytelling things, and so another part I would love to know. You told me comedy is just a good communication.
Yeah. Well.
So what is it all about?
Well, I remember saying to people, like, okay, I I teach comedy workshops and people go, oh God, I would never do comedy. Comedy is impossible. You know, like public speaking.
You have to be funny all
the time.
But
the expectation is this to be funny on it. So it's just impossible for most people. Just go, yeah. No. Right.
Okay.
But I said, well, what about public speaking? And most people go, oh, no way, never do public speaking, you know. And I'm going like, sometimes public speaking is more terrifying than anything else. It seems that it's in the top three fears in the world. And public speaking is actually more fearful than death. So people would prefer to die than speak.
Yeah, right.
They prefer to be in the coffin than talking about the person in the coffin.
Yeah.
So I was like, why is it so fearful? I mean, and to me, now I had to overcome that barrier and begin to speak. And I said, right, well, we speak every day. We talk to each other every day. We talk to our friends every day. We talk on the phone every day. So to me, it's just talking. But it's just where you stand in the room is different. So to me, it was like, okay, if public speaking is difficult, well, then we're talking about communication. And if you look at comedy, which is the ultimate public speaking, because you must speak in public, but also be funny.
Yes.
Then it seems impossible. But then I say, well, what's good communication? Communication is about speaking to people, being clear, making sense, being concise, try and get your point across, etc., etc. So if I asked you, like, what's a good communicator? A good communicator is somebody, when they speak, you're interested.
So they have a story with a curiosity.
When it's a story with a curiosity, you're interested,
yeah.
You're engaged,
yeah.
You're listening. They have, well, what are the things? They have energy.
Yeah, right.
Like, and they're passionate. So you start looking at these words and you go, energy, passionate, they're clear, they're engaging. Sometimes they can be charismatic, you know, but they speak to you. They make a personal connection and all of these things. And then usually a good speaker has a little bit of humor too.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of seeing public speaking as being this big, terrifying thing, I always see it as like, it's just communication. And then also when you look at comedy, I see it as just very good communication, because
mm-hmm.
it has all the same elements mm-hmm. of communication, but it's just more entertaining, more engaging, maybe a little bit more funny. But to me, how you learn public speaking, how you learn comedy, it's all the same thing, because it becomes down to whether it's right or wrong. When anybody starts, they feel like, I must just do this correctly. If it's not correct, terrible things will happen. So for me, I don't teach people comedy to make them comedians.
Mm-hmm.
I teach public speaking and good communications with comedy.
Okay.
So they have fun learning how to speak in public.
It's fun. Yeah.
And then if it's fun, if you're playing, when you play, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, because you're playing. So if you're in a playful mentality, that means you're enjoying it. And it, like, the best way to learn is when it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah, right.
And when is it okay to make mistakes? When it's fun. So when you're playing games, like even if you play card games or you play Cards Against Humanity or any of these after dinner games, it's okay if you get it wrong. It's not a big problem. So to me, it's about the mentality of playfulness.
Mm.
So it's not about getting it right or wrong, but actually enjoying it and having fun. And then mistakes are not bad. Mistakes are learning, and it's playful.
Mm.
So to me, it's a change of mentality of having fun.
Oh, wow. That's really a good point. So do you have one quick tip for us how we get a bit more fun in our communication?
How do you get more fun in your communication?
Yeah.
I think the best way is, let's see, just, I would say, be as personal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And laugh at your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes us human, you know? And if you're able to laugh when you make mistakes, then people will find that very human too.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of going, oh my God, I got it wrong, you just go, I got it wrong. I did this in the presentation in Norway. I said, there are 3 points that are very important to learn. And I said, number one, blah, 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 blah. Number two, blah, 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 blah. Number three, I can't remember it. And there was everybody laughing. And I went, yeah.
I'm said, human.
I'll think of it in a minute. I said, I'm sorry, you know. And then at the end, I said, you know, you've all been told a story. And then they went, oh, wow, God, wow, storytelling does connect to the product and the company, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, oh, I said, I remember the third one. I said, the third one is, don't forget your third point. Thank you. Good night. So very it good. Makes it okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So the mistakes are the gifts. See them as a gift.
Well, if you can handle it like that, that they are a gift and make a bit like a twinkle here. And say, I'm not as important that I sometimes think I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
And the minute we see that you're human, we go, I like you.
Yeah.
I like you now because you're okay with your mistakes. Then we all don't have to be perfect and we can all just relax a little bit.
Oh, that's a very good point at the end of our talk.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Spontaneous. Just,
yeah, no, this was a great surprise, but it's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. You know? For me too. So it was very spontaneous, and we made probably a lot of mistakes, but still, we had fun and a good communication and set the point. And thank you very much for looking this time the English sofa talk, the English podcasting.
English was very good. English
oh, thank you very much.
My German is terrible.
And at this point I say thank you for watching, and next week again in German when the next time it heißt Bau dir deine Zukunft. Jetzt fällt mir gleich gar nicht mehr ein auf Deutsch, weil lauter Englisch. Meine Damen und Herren, bis zum nächsten Mittwoch. Servus, auf Wiedersehen sagen Kieran und Silvia. Ciao.
Ciao. Thank you. Bye bye.
Das war die Podcast-Serie Bau dir deine Zukunft von und mit Silvia Ziolkowski, die Zukunftsentwicklerin. Unter silvia-ziolkowski.de finden Sie weitere Informationen rund um Visions- und Zukunftsentwicklung inklusive kostenloser Checklisten und Impulsen. Wenn Ihnen die Folge gefallen hat, empfehlen Sie sie weiter und bewerten Sie diesen Podcast gerne auf iTunes. Herzlichen Dank. Bis zum nächsten Mal, wenn es wieder heißt, bau dir deine Zukunft.